From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block with a story today about the end of life and the gift of teaching. We spent the morning recently with first-year medical students at the University of Maryland in Baltimore. The day we visited was the students' first day in the gross anatomy lab, their first day with the cadavers they'd be dissecting over the next 10 weeks. We're going to check in with the class several times this school year to learn what they're learning about the body, about sickness and mortality. A word of caution. By its nature, this story will include language and description that may be inappropriate for some listeners. Before class, the students change into scrubs at their hallway lockers. George Kochman is 28, excited, he says, but nervous too.
Sure. You know, I don't know if a lot of other people have seen dead bodies before. I have. But it's not just seeing it, but you're going to be touching and feeling and prodding and getting dirty, so it's nerve-wracking in some ways, I think.
Another student, 24-year-old Priscilla Nelson, has a few goals in mind.
Oh, pick a good cadaver. And I guess hope that it all goes well and that I just am not queasy or
you
to
about
just
that?
Do it. Yeah, it smells bad in there.
Do you think you want a male, female? Does it matter?
No, not really. We picked out a name for our cadaver.
You did?
Yes. If it's a boy, it's Reggie Mortis. Or if it's a girl, it's Regina Mortis.
Inside the lab, the gross lab, they call it, 34 bodies are laid out on dissection tables. They're completely draped with aqua sheets, with just a hint of the human form underneath. The students organize themselves around the donor cadavers in groups of four or five, 160 students in all. Some peek under the drapes to get a sense of the person they'll be working on. The course director, Dr. Larry Anderson, climbs up onto a ladder with some words of encouragement and caution.
Remember that the donor that's sitting in front of you was someone's mom or dad or brother or sister or uncle or aunt or something like that who had a great life. And they decided to give you a gift, a privilege to learn from them. And so use them wisely.
Anderson tells the students that, strange as it may seem now, they will grow comfortable in this lab.
And that's part of the problem. And as a physician, you will get comfortable with your patients being ill. Don't fall into that trap of being so callous that you don't see the human that you're dealing with.
Somewhere in the middle of this talk, Priscilla Nelson, the student who was worried about getting queasy, does feel woozy. She's led into a side room to lie down for a while, but pretty soon she's back on her feet, and it's time to start. The sheets are pulled back, the plastic covering around the bodies untied, the heads stay wrapped in gauze, and then the surprisingly difficult task of turning the bodies over onto their stomachs.
Lift up. One, two, three. Lift.
A dozen faculty are here to help.
And pull the arm out from underneath. Okay, that's right.
That's Dr. Rosemary Reese, who walks around the lab with a spine draped over her shoulder for instruction.
We start always on the back because there are two reasons, really. One is it's quite anonymous, and so for the students, it's a good place to start. It doesn't have features, which some of them find quite distressing. And then the second thing is that everything in there is large. The skin is very thick, and there's very little damage that can be done. Even if they nick something, there's lots more of it there to work with.
The bodies look strangely inhuman somehow, and that's a blessing. They've stiffened, of course. The skin is a mottled yellow, plasticky in its lifelessness. The faculty circulate from table to table with lessons that are literally hands-on.
As you march your thumbs up the midline, that's L3, L4, and that's where you'll be putting a needle in when you do spinal taps. So my point is that this surface anatomy that you're seeing now and touching and feeling is very important as you do clinical medicine, as you learn medicine. A lot of this anatomy you're going to forget, but some of it you'll be carrying with you for the rest of your life. It will be very valuable.
The first task is to slice through the layers of skin and fibrous tissue called fascia to expose the trapezius muscles of the back. Most of the students start right in, a long vertical cut, several horizontal cuts across the width of the back.
And then you can use your, the hemostat or your probe, you just sort of put it through like that. Now you've got something you can pull on pretty hard. Okay, now a surgeon wouldn't do that, but for this case, we're okay, all right?
There is a fair amount of trial and error. For help, the students can consult a book on dissection on a stand at the end of the table.
So we're going to need and separate it from the muscle from the fascia.
Yeah. No, you have to separate the skin from the fascia. You have to leave the fascia on. Look right here, level of inferior.
Like we're leaving the muscle, but we're pulling back the fascia.
No, you leave the fascia. We're pulling back the hypodermis.
Right. And leaving the fascia.
Pull back three layers of skin and leave the
fascia and the muscle.
Are your eyes?
My eyes are irritated.
The embalming chemicals are pungent. There's a sting in the air. The students wear gloves, but no masks or goggles, and they lean in close.
You can see muscle here. See that? That's muscle.
Oh, look at that.
That's fantastic.
Look how you can see it. Oh. With the fascia around it.
See, we went too deep here.
This is deep back muscle.
Yeah, this is
We're past latissimus dorsi. Put that back.
As the class goes on, the students do get more comfortable, as Dr. Anderson predicted. They may casually rest their hand on the body's head or arm. Their complete focus is on what's inside, and they seem to get more fascinated the deeper inside they go. We find a group of five students probing along the spine.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Like you can feel,
the line of the bone. Right.
Yes.
Jacqueline Cockrell and Laura Silverstein take a break to talk about the experience.
It's really cool because we're seeing things that almost nobody will ever see, even about their own bodies.
Yeah.
It's really amazing. It's a little bit emotional because it's a huge step.
Yeah.
It's just, you just have to sort of separate. And sort of terrifying at the same time. What's the terrifying part?
I don't know. Like Dr. Anderson was talking about, like, how we have to remember the humanist part, and I'm terrified, like, because everyone's like, oh, you know, you'll lose your idealism going through medical school, and I think that's a really scary thought. Like, we're all here for good reasons, and it's kind of scary to think that it's really
right
how
away.
Easy it is to lose that, to desensitize yourself to the human on the table.
Walk around the room and you will hear some joking about brisket and rump roast as muscle is cut away. But more often, you hear the excitement of discovery.
Oh, sweet, look at that.
Can you see that?
That is crazy.
Wow.
Oh, man, look at that.
That is so cool that you can actually see the spinal column.
Yeah, the spinal column.
Nerves.
Aww, so cool. Look at those.
At this table, we find George Kochman, whom we first met at his locker.
I'm amazed by the whole thing. I'm amazed just at the whole structure and what fat looks like and the way the interplay between fat and muscle and bone, and I don't know, I'm fascinated. I think it's just fantastic.
Y'all just found a nerve, I think, by the spinal column?
Yeah, right by the spinal column. So, and you know, you're surprised that, you know, you think of nerves as these little tingly things going through your body, but you know, the ones in their back are pretty big, and you're surprised at how big they are, so it's kinda interesting to see.
Describe what it looked like when you saw it.
Kind of looks like a piece of pasta in some ways. I think that's kind of like a piece of spaghetti, maybe a little bit bigger or maybe a little flatter.
Heard a little bit of brisket humor going on here.
Yeah, I mean, there's no denying the way it kind of looks and the things it reminds you of. And I think for us, it's kind of making the connection between things we know and also, you know, humor helps kind of diffuse the situation that we're doing.
At the end of the first day, one group puts on goggles and starts in with a bone saw to cut through the spinal column. All of the other students stop what they're doing and turn to watch. Some look envious. Others look pained. They wince.
Try to straighten them out. We're just going to close them up a bit.
Before they leave for the day, the students restore the bodies. They fold the patchwork flaps of skin back into place, clip on the plastic bags, and drape the donors again with the aqua sheets. We'll check in with this class in a month or so to see how their attitudes have shifted, how their knowledge of the body has changed, and to talk more about who donates their bodies and why. There are some photos from the anatomy lab at our website, npr.org.